Hi, and welcome back to a brand new series, The London Weekend Show. It's 7:30 in the morning. The shipping forecast promises foresight winds, and we're heading out of Ramsgate Harbour into the North Sea. Our destination officially ceased to exist 10 years ago, but I can tell you that it's still there just by turning on the radio. We're setting our course to track down the last of the pirates.
Going back in time on the Sounds of the Nation, it's the Caroline Flashback.
Radio Caroline was the first of the pirate radio ships which brought all-day pop music to British listeners in the 60s, and today it is the last. This act, the Marine Etc. Broadcasting Offences Act of 1967, forced all the other pirate radio stations off the air and left the way clear for the new BBC Radio 1 and later the independent local radio stations like Capital. It forced them all off the air except Caroline, alone but still going strong. Stronger than ever, in fact. If you've spun your radio dial lately, you might have noticed a new station between LBC and Radio 4 on the medium wave. Well, that's Caroline, broadcasting with a new and much more powerful transmitter on 319 metres.
So we're sailing out to discover how Caroline managed to survive an act of parliament which scuppered the other buccaneers. We're also hoping to find out more about that act, one clause of which could make it illegal even to wear a Caroline badge on your lapel. So as we sail out into the North Sea, let's take a look at how the pirate story began.
To an audience accustomed to almost a decade of all-day pop radio, the sound of Caroline in the 60s might not appear that revolutionary today. To appreciate the impact it had then, you have to remember that before the pirates sailed over the horizon, listeners had to wait all week until 11 o'clock on Saturday night for this.
Greetings, pop pickers, it's Pick of the Pops.
Pick of the Pops on the Light programme. BBC's only real concession to pop records on the radio.
The lineup today includes Norbert and Eager, the Righteous Brothers, Roy C., Stevie Wonder, the Morgan James Duo, and Gene Latter. Then comes the Mummers and the Poppers.
If you wanted pop at any other time, you could tune in to the evening's only broadcast on Radio Luxembourg.
This is Radio Luxembourg, your station of the stars, broadcasting on 208 metres medium wave.
Although their programmes had a habit of fading away and buzzing with interference just as your favourite record came on. Because of the lack of competition, however, Luxembourg had built up an enormous audience for its pop output by the early 60s. Nobody at Luxembourg in 1964 could have realised how soon their lead was to be challenged. In a small and secluded Irish fishing port called Granor, two ships were rapidly and secretly being made ready, and on Easter Saturday 1964 at 12 noon...
You're tuned to Radio Caroline on...
A month later, Caroline was joined in the Thames estuary by a rival ship, Radio Atlanta, broadcasting from the Mi Amigo. Shortly afterwards, they joined forces to become Caroline North and South, and the original ship sailed off to a new anchorage off the Isle of Man. The original stations had a variety of respectable city backers, including financier Oliver Smedley, publisher and Lloyd's underwriter Major D.C. Lomax, and Jocelyn Stevens, currently head of Beaverbrook Newspapers, but then editor of Queen magazine. Caroline was, however, very much the creation of one man, Ronan O'Reilly, seen here in 1964, shortly after Caroline had started. In those days, O'Reilly, whose father was a wealthy Irish shipping magnate, was active around the London music scene, managing a club and hustling promising bands. 13 years later, I spoke to him about those early days.
This is what actually started Caroline, right? I record Georgie Fame, I didn't know anything about the business. I just thought, this guy's fantastic. British public will love him, right? Called him, go to the various record companies, which were two, by the way. It was EMI and Decca, and that was it. And I didn't understand that either. I didn't understand why there weren't 100 record companies. But I understood it in a few minutes, which is when I'm sitting in Luxembourg saying to them, which was the only station that had a couple of hours a night coming in, and I said, look, I have an acetate here, but I'm Georgie Fantorific. And they sort of went into hysterical laughter and said, look at the boards, and it was like EMI show, Decca show, EMI and X show. And I got absolutely, I was shattered by the reality that nothing that wasn't EMI or Decca would be played. And even the people at the BBC weren't giving the music thing. I mean, that wasn't considered to be serious. And he kept getting to brick wall. And finally, the only kind of way to kind of get around all of that was to actually have a radio station.
But it couldn't be an ordinary radio station. It had to be a floating radio station.
Basically, the only free place on the planet left is international waters. Now, the reason it is free, the reason man hasn't quite done his usual jackboot number on that place, is that there's a vested interest in keeping international waters free. If you abandon the three-mile limit idea and two nations 20 miles apart get together and say, right, any boats that come through here now, we're going to charge a pound a ton on the, you know, and that's what's kept the sort of, you know, the international water thing free. So after 3 weeks of Caroline, from nothing, we had 7,200,000 listeners, which was phenomenal.
Radio Caroline was a success story from the start, and it was soon joined by a host of offshore imitators.
The original Caroline South was anchored off Clacton and Caroline North off the Isle of Man. Radio 390 broadcast light music and drama from an old army fort on Red Sands in the Thames estuary. In September 1964, Radio City had started broadcasting from another Second World War Army fort at Shivering Sands. And an ex-Navy fort, Knock John, supported Radio Essex. Earlier that year, Radio Scotland had begun broadcasting from a converted lightship off Dunbar. And Radio 270 was a service for the North East.
Wonderful Radio London!
The most American sounding of these was Radio London, better known as Big L.
Good afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, guys and gals, little ones and kittens, this is the Stew Pot Show with Mike Lennox from now until 6 o'clock. We're going to have a good time. It's a rave-up afternoon. Watch out now for the number five sound from the Big L Fabulous 40.
Everyone seemed to have an opinion on the pirates.
Here comes the bride of shotgun wedding.
I listened to the pirates occasionally myself. His background, as audible wallpaper, as they say, well, they're all right, but I think one's taste really goes beyond that.
People are standing all around.
In our daily business, we have to deal with a very large number of people whose liability to pay our fees is undoubted, but who do their best to evade us. It was therefore very refreshing indeed to find people, businessmen, whose legal liability was of the slimmest, who came forward voluntarily and said they wished to pay our fees. In short, from our point of view, they are very gentlemanly pirates.
At a shotgun wedding here in this town.
I can't peer into a crystal ball, but I can say this, that this government, and I believe any government, would enforce existing law, would carry legislation through, and that the pirate radio ships have no future at all. I'm quite convinced of that, and I think the sooner they're convinced of it, the better.
And I'm the victim.
We are not criminals under any circumstances.
They are, in fact, pirates. The word is a correct one. They are pirates. They are, in fact, outlaws. And no society can, in fact, permit the continued existence of a group of lawbreakers, because if they do, then the law itself ultimately comes into disrepute.
And oh, yeah,
Part of the pirates' attraction was their spontaneity and vitality, which was a novelty at the time. Capital's Tommy Vance was a disc jockey on both Caroline and Big L in the heyday of the pirates.
Oh, very frequently things went wrong. In fact, I think some of the major politicians at that time considered the whole thing to be a total disaster anyway, though I've never concurred with what they thought. Things like, I mean, people never arrived in the newsroom on time, ever. So you can, now over to so-and-so with the news. Oh, well, he's not there. Don't worry, let's play another record. There was that sort of attitude about it. Disasters galore.
Here's the current Caroline temperature check, and I think we'll possibly have time for about one, possibly two more this morning on the Mike A Show.
We can see now that the pirates had a tremendous effect on the whole music industry.
Effect of Caroline on the whole rock music thing of the 60s was like so enormous. I mean, I even had people like George Harrison and John Lennon say to me at various times, you know, that the input was just enormous, the impact of that, and it sort of suddenly made England a music, you know, suddenly was musically conscious on a pop level.
Caroline Sure Shot!
It's hard to overestimate the effect of the enormous increase in exposure the pirates offered to the music world. New smaller record companies got a chance to get their products heard, and many new bands, like the Moody Blues, for example, owed much of their success to the pirates. And the opportunities for advertising made the pirates popular with the non-music world too.
It was a leg in at a very cheap price for the small man, the small shopkeeper, the small guy, to get going, to get his business on the road. Couldn't buy television then because it was £1,000 a second or whatever, but he could buy Caroline. And all of that, you know, on that level was terrific as well. I mean.
Advertise on Radio Caroline and make 1965 your boom year. Sell on Radio Caroline.
And as for the pirate chiefs themselves, they weren't exactly short of a bob or two.
Well, it was just enormous. I mean, it was just ridiculous. It was, you know, there was just so much revenue that,
For 3 years, the Skull and Crossbones ruled the airwaves, filling the pirates' chests with gold and introducing to Britain the delights of all-day pop and giving a start to many of our best-known DJs. Caroline boasted Tony Blackburn, Simon Dee, Dave Lee Travis, Emperor Roscoe, Roger Scott, Tommy Vance and Johnny Walker. Blackburn and Vance also worked for Big L, Radio London, as did Dave Cash, Kenny Everett, Ed Stewart and John Peel. Then, on the 15th of August 1967...
The government introduced the Marine Offences Act, a piece of legislation designed to make it impossible for the pirates to continue.
The two principal arguments for the 1967 Act were that unregulated broadcasting might interfere with emergency services such as distress signals, and that anyway the 1948 Copenhagen Plan, which had allocated all the European broadcasting frequencies, left no room for any further British radio channels.
In fact, for these two reasons, many European governments, including Britain, had signed the Strasbourg Agreement in 1965. This meant we were honour bound to introduce legislation to protect European government authorised stations from interference by unauthorised stations. However, advances in broadcasting technology would probably have made it possible to allocate frequencies to the pirates. After all, since 1967, we've managed to find room under international law to fit in 20 local BBC stations and 19 independent commercial ones like Capital and LBC. The most serious charge was the possibility of interference with emergency services. Although there doesn't seem to be any evidence that this ever happened, the worry that it might one day was obviously a powerful influence on the decision to bring in the Act. But was there another, more emotional reason for sinking the pirates? Sir John Foster, former MP and expert on international law, thinks so.
Where I think the whole basis is wrong is that the British government's Labour and Conservative had an insane hatred of commercial radio. Insane. And so they allowed literally tens of millions of pounds, perhaps hundreds of millions of pounds from the start, from before the war, to go to Radio Luxembourg, paid by English advertisers, when they could have set a poll up in London, called it Radio Ruritania Utopia, and if somebody didn't like commercial radio, they could have listened to the BBC. Because I think that's the end of the argument. If you don't like it, you listen to something else. And of course, starting from this insane hatred, that's why they passed the Marine Offences, etc. Act of 1967.
This is a Caroline Gale warning.
And so they all closed except one. As the hour of midnight on the 14th of August approached, millions of listeners tuned in anxiously to see what would happen to the newly renamed Radio Caroline International's intention to continue despite the act.
This has been Caroline Newsbeat. This is Radio Caroline. It is now 12 midnight. Into the new phase of broadcasting from Caroline, I want you to remember something. That is, a station that belongs to you and is right cannot ever be taken away from you.
And almost a decade later, she's still there. In part two, we'll be taking a closer look at the act and how Caroline managed to continue where the others have folded. Also, with a bit of luck, we should have reached the Mi Amigo by then, and we'll be able to see what she looks like and maybe have a chat with some of the people on board. I'll see you then. Sorry. Ah! Oh, it's doing it again! Hello? I'm sorry, I'm not very used to doing this. What's the weather been like out here?
It's been okay, it hasn't been rough at all.
Not rough?
Not in the last week or so, anyway.
That's more you can say from our trip out here. Most people have been sick. You might wonder why I'm hailing them through a loudspeaker rather than doing what would be much easier, and that's just go on board. Well, the Marine Offences Act doesn't actually make it illegal for me to go on board, but it does make it illegal for the captain of this boat to encourage me to go there, so that's why I won't be going. It also makes it illegal to install or take out radio apparatus, which you know is going to be used for offshore broadcasting. It's illegal to advertise on the station, or even to publish advertisements for it. And it's also illegal to help the station in any way by taking supplies, either food or records or anything like that, in a British boat.
So how does Caroline get to be still here despite the act? Well, first of all, whilst the station is illegal, it is not possible to prosecute it under the Marine Offences Act. The ship is not British. Lloyd's Register of Shipping record it as being owned by a Panamanian company, Rosebud Shipping SA, and it's anchored outside British territorial waters.
It's the high seas which they tried to hit, and they could only hit it imperfectly because this rule of international law that you can't extend your jurisdiction to a foreign ship. What the Act does is really to make illegal a lot of actions which would be covered generally under the words operating or participating.
Mike Stevens.
That all makes life on a pirate ship sound a bit impractical. I asked the people on the Mi Amigo how they coped.
How did you get your mail brought out here?
The mail goes to Spain, and we get supplies from Spain, and we get the mail, well, once a month. Sometimes the mail arrives late.
Oh.
It's always good to get it when it does arrive.
It must be a bit like being in World War III or something stuck out here.
Or in a monastery.
I was going to say. What's it like in winter? I mean, to me, it's rough enough now. I mean, you look pretty stable, but you're anchored down, aren't you?
It's a very good ship. It may look a bit rusty at the moment.
I was going to say, it looks a bit battered up your end.
It's been very well built as a radio ship. It's been very carefully designed. It was built in Texas. And as you can see, it really is remarkably stable.
Yeah, you're not bothering a bit. We're going up and down like a yo-yo here. Can you play whatever records you like?
Yeah. It's the only station anyway. You can play what you like, which is really nice.
What, no playlist?
Nothing. It's a free choice.
One thing I always wanted to ask you is, if you're in a boat, why doesn't the needle jump up and down on the record?
Well, it does sometimes.
Well, Louise, is that a really dopey question?
No, well...
Does it move around a bit in the winter?
The ship tends to move steadily rather than very suddenly. If you bang the floor, it will jump. But if the ship is rolling, if the ship's rolling, it's a gradual roll, and it's not enough to make the needle jump.
Roger, do you play tricks on each other on your shows? Because sometimes I hear you saying, oh, so-and-so's trying to jump down through the hatch and stuff. Is that all real?
Yeah, it's a bit of that goes on.
A bit of that?
Throw in some boots on him.
you throw boots at him?
And those pipes, and dead fish. I think the funniest thing we did last summer, we'd been catching sharks, and we lured a live shark down the hatch of the studio. And the disc jockey that was on the air at the time suddenly saw this quite large shark. It was about 3.5 feet, threshing around on the end of the line, and nearly had a heart attack.
Well, the actors made it impossible to supply the Mi Amigo from England, and theoretically everything has to be shipped there from Spain. Even more damaging, the act makes it illegal for British firms to advertise on pirate radio. How could Caroline get round that?
The Marine Offences Act effectively just wiped out all your British advertising in Britain. It didn't block any kind of Canadian company or American company or any company around the world booking through, you know, a legitimate, you know, a country then that was saying it was all right to operate. And, you know, there are, as I say, over 100 countries that say Caroline is fine.
It's 5 minutes before 2 o'clock. How would you like a Radio Caroline card to get to put in the back of your...
Tell me about the advertisements. How do you get them?
Get a free one.
Well, of course, we don't know too much about the sales office. Our main office is in Spain, but we get the text and sometimes tapes for the commercials, which are brought out here with the supplies.
According to Ronan O'Reilly, most of Caroline's advertising is placed by large multinational companies through their offices in countries such as Spain. But when we contacted some of them, they had no record of placing the ads through any of their European branches. A few small British businesses seem to be advertised too. When we asked them about it, they said that the ads were an embarrassment to them and broadcast without their consent.
What about the advertisements that are on Radio Caroline at the moment that invite you to send your money to Spain to buy either posters or T-shirts which say Radio Caroline and the wavelengths? Is that breaking the law, or because you send your money to Spain, is it within the Act?
I think sending your money is all right, because you're not participating, you know, doing the broadcasting. And, of course, Radio Caroline's not breaking the law, because there's nobody ostensibly British national on board.
Is it an offence at the moment to actually listen to Radio Caroline?
No.
That's not illegal?
No, not yet. I don't think it will be. Because that would make everybody look so silly. I mean, it would be like Russia and Czechoslovakia or Nazis during the war.
One thing you mustn't do, though, according to the Act, is anything which could be viewed as promoting the interests of an illegal station. This could make it against the law for you to wear a Caroline T-shirt, on the grounds that you might draw the station to the attention of people who hadn't known about it before. This law also makes it quite difficult for us to discuss the questions raised by the continuing presence of pirate radio. However, Caroline exists today because it avoids prosecution under the Marine Offences Act, although achieving this obviously makes life much more difficult for the people running it. But why should anyone bother to listen? What are they getting from Caroline that they can't get from the existing government-authorised stations like Capital?
The difference with Caroline in the 70s to Caroline in the 60s is that it's largely where it was sort of pop, top, pop kind of thing. A singles thing. It is now an album station. It plays nothing but album tracks. And so it's kind of, it's a different ball game. If you go around any of the big record shops today and ask them what 80% of their sales are, 80% of their sales are albums. I mean, that is a reality. And yet the entire market is geared, you know, the whole selling machinery is geared to singles. think there is a good opening in this market, in the British London radio market, for a station that, say, at 8 o'clock in the morning is playing album cuts and not necessarily hit singles. I think there is an opening in the market for that type of radio, along the lines of American FM.
But what's in it for Caroline's backers these days, now that the actors cut down their advertising revenue to a comparative trickle? Well, there's the income from the Dutch sister station, Radio Mi Amigo, which broadcast on the same boat. And there's also something else.
Loving awareness is a simple concept. Just treat people in a loving way, a positive way. And in return, they'll give you all the love in the world.
And in the end,
what LA means is loving awareness, right? Now, you might say, what has a radio station got? What's a radio station putting out that idea? Well, it seems to me that, and you know, it seems that a lot of people today are definitely being pushed in the other direction. In other words, crime is on the increase, uptightness is on the increase. Lack of kindness, lack of concern, lack of care.
But however important LA is for Ronan O'Reilly, for the listeners, part of Caroline's attraction may well be due to the fact that it is illegal.
The newly completed LA Estates offers you and your loved ones paradise on earth and promises to change your lifestyle to what it was meant to be.
I recently went down to do a gig in a Medway town. And I went on and said, "Hi, I'm Tommy Vance," and got about four people going, "Get off," the usual thing. "I'm from Capital Radio." And then I went on to say, "I must tell you, it's amazing. When I came into this town, I was listening on my radio to Radio Caroline, and the place erupted. I mean, it absolutely erupted. I think the magic is that it is totally contemporary, and as it was when it first started in the early 60s, it's ahead of its time. It is not governed by any government restrictions. It has freedom. And that's something very magical. It's something that you cannot package and sell. It either exists and you feel it, or it doesn't exist and you know it's not there.
However attractive freedom of the airways is as an idea, in practice, there is a limit to the space available, and there has to be some sort of regulation to avoid confusion. Sir John Foster is convinced that this is what the government of the day should have done with the pirates instead of outlawing them.
They ought to have brought Radio Caroline into the law and regulated it, made him pay his taxes, or paid to a central fund or something, and said, "Now you must perform performing rights, you must have a decent amount of wages, not pension rights, and all the things that nowadays people think you should have with a labour force." And right, it's rather anomalous just to allow an outside radio station to get in the revenue from 25 million people and not have any responsibility back. But as I say, it was done, A, for the wrong motives, and B, in the wrong way.
Do you think the Act should be repealed now that commercial radio exists anyway in this country?
It shouldn't be repealed, it should be altered to bring Radio Caroline and those people into the English system of law, to accept that British nationals could go on the ship.
As we head back to Ramsgate and solid ground, one thing seems clear. Whether the Marine Offences Act works as a piece of legislation or not, there's something a bit unsatisfactory about a law that seems to make it difficult to discuss stations like Caroline publicly without running the risk of committing an offence. I'll see you in prison.